good afternoon to all of you across Tampa, Florida, and Central Florida, and listening online in the broader Genesis Network. My name is Jeff Deist. This is A Neighbor's Choice, a radio show you listen to throughout the week with the normal host, David Gornosky, who is on vacation this week, taking some much-needed time off. And so he asked me to fill in for him today, which I was happy to do. You may know my voice and my name from Thursday afternoons when I usually come in as a guest with Mr. Gornosky on topics of economics and politics. My day job is at the Mises Institute, an economics think tank located at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. But it's great to be here. It's great to be on the Genesis Network. It's great to be talking to Tampa, Florida on WHBO 1040 News Talk. There's a lot going on that we can talk about in the country today. It is Election Day, as they mentioned at the top of the hour. There are big gubernatorial elections in New Jersey and in Virginia, and it really feels like in many ways these elections are a proxy for some of the broader symptoms and ills going on in this country right now. And I thought there'd be no better guest to talk in particular about the Virginia governor election with Terry McAuliffe than my great friend Jim Bovard, who is a native Virginian. You may know James Bovard from over the years, writing for Wall Street Journal, writing for The Hill, writing for USA Today. He's written several books of his own about state power and D.C. malfeasance, and he's a general all-around great guy and muckraker. So, Jim, how are you today?
Hey, doing good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Boy, I always think when someone says that a local election, even when it's statewide in a big state like Virginia, is a proxy for Biden's popularity or Trump's unpopularity or CRT or anything else, I always think, gee, I'm not so sure about that. People tend to have local concerns. But, man, Jim, this is right in Biden's backyard. And Terry McAuliffe, he was chairman of the DNC. He's a Clinton lifer, a Clinton aficionado. I mean, this is kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal, and the Democratic candidate was famous for being Bill Clinton's money bag man. There were so many should have been scandals he was involved with, and he's come across with so much arrogance in this campaign. He's also helped to make it turn the campaign into a referendum on government schools, because he was so outspoken that parents have no right to have any say on what their children are taught or the books they read. He has set folks on fire that way. He's also gung-ho for vaccine mandates, for making kids wear masks, and a lot of other hot-button issues. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. I don't have a prediction. So,
boy, oh boy. And you and I both know, I lived in Northern Virginia for a time when I worked for Dr. Ron Paul. Those counties up there are huge and growing. It's really two different states. Northern Virginia, yeah. Fairfax County, Loudoun County, Arlington County. Jim, I read today that Fairfax County alone has over 1 million people. So this is a very uncomfortable situation. It plays out in New York City with upstate New York. It plays out in Georgia with Atlanta and then the countryside. And now we see this ugly division between two Virginias.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the time I was raised in Virginia, it was a southern state. And most of the geographical area of the state has still got a southern vibe. But you do have that Northern Virginia dominance at election time. It's funny, the Washington Post had the Washington Post sent some reporters out to talk to people outside the D.C. area to find out what they thought about the candidates and Biden and stuff like that. And it's funny because the Post sent them to Southeast Virginia, Hampton Roads, Norfolk area, stuff like that. If they sent them to Southwest Virginia, they would not have found, it would have been very difficult to find anybody who had a good word to say about Biden, because Biden is intensely unpopular in much, if not most, of the geographical area of the state. But as you said, those population centers may settle the case. It's interesting because it's a rainy day here in this part of the country, and in previous decades, the rainy days tend to favor GOP candidates because their voters were said to be more likely to come out in the rain. But with all the pre-election voting, with all the activism, I don't know. It's very hard to say how this is going to shake out. So, but I'm sure that the pundits will have all the answers as soon as the polls close.
Yeah, some people are going to look real dumb in hindsight, as they always do. It's interesting you bring up Southwest Virginia. And again, this idea of two different states, we see this playing out across the country, really, the divide between cities and more rural parts of states, a really nasty political divide. And I don't think we're very well served by a big central government in D.C. or really even by big governments in state capitals. But, Jim, when I think about the Shenandoah Valley and that part of Virginia, beautiful country, rolling hills, you know, I look at Mr. McAuliffe. So back in the 90s, he invested $100,000 in Global Crossing. Some people might remember that name. It's a telecom company in Bermuda. And 2 years later, he sold it for $8.1 million. So we all do that, right? We all turn $100,000 into $8 million in 2 years. Easy peasy. And in case you're thinking that Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, is a real man of the people, talking about CRT and a race in schools and that sort of thing, he actually used to be a principal at the Carlyle Group, which is one of the biggest and wealthiest private equity firms in the world. So let's just say, Jim, that neither of these guys are sweating next month's rent.
Yeah, that's true. But to take a step back about that $8 million profit for the Democratic candidate, you know, I can understand why he needed that, because he had to send all of his five kids to private schools. So... And some of those schools in the D.C. area are really expensive, so I've heard.
Yeah, if you want to go to St. Albans, like Barack Obama's two daughters, it's not $5,000 a year, let's just say. But this is so interesting. You bring up that this has become almost a national referendum on school boards, because we've had all these angry school board meetings across the country where people are worried that they're teaching CRT or whatever they're teaching. And McAuliffe denied that it was even being taught in Virginia public schools. There appears to be evidence to the contrary. But this idea that parents take an active role, and then McAuliffe issued what we would have called a gaffe 10 years ago, which is, in other words, he said what he actually believed, which is that, no, parents shouldn't have any say over what goes on in public schools. But it's not really a gaffe these days.
Yeah, and it's surprising, because something that's positive is that a lot of parents have pushed back. Loudoun County, you mentioned, there was a huge controversy there. There was a student who said he was female and then went into the female bathroom and raped a woman, raped a teenage girl. From what I've heard, this was his second rape. And I've talked to someone who's got two daughters teaching in Loudoun County, and I was told there's been an awful lot of student violence there that's been swept under the rug. And it's interesting, folks think that talk about public schools, you know, somehow following the will of the public, hard to know what that is. But there's been so much systemic cover-up of violence and abuses in the schools by some of the students. In some of those areas, school discipline has collapsed. And it's a very different Virginia than what I was raised in the 60s and 70s. I mean, I think back to my high school years, there were a lot of smart asses. I was certainly one of them. But the whole idea of going out and punching teachers, it's kind of like, you know, that simply wasn't done unless you were totally whacked out on drugs or whatever. But teachers are fearing for their safety. It's undercutting the education. And on the bright side, there's been a huge exodus from the government schools. And hopefully that will sow some seeds of more freedom lovers in the future.
Well, before our break here, I just want to throw something out to you, Jim. It's been 12 years since a Republican won a statewide race in Virginia. Now, I bet when you were a kid, all the statewide office holders were Democrats, and then they switched to Republican, and now they're Democrats again.
Yeah, it's a strange flip-flop, and there's been such a change in the typical Virginia voter. But it's interesting to see the Washington Post piece today talking about how the voters in the Tidewater area are upset that Biden hasn't gotten the more benefits. And it's kind of like, well, gee, this is going to be a very lofty election.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from James Bovard. Welcome back. This is A Neighbor's Choice. I am your guest host, filling in for Dave Ganoski. My name is Jeff Deist. We're broadcasting across Tampa. Very happy to be with you on a busy Tuesday afternoon. We're speaking with James Bovard, the great Jim Bovard, author, columnist at USA Today. You can find him, ladies and gentlemen, on Twitter at Jim Bovard, B-O-V-A-R-D. I recommend you do so. So, Jim, we're talking Virginia in this election today. You know, given the demographic changes in the state, a lot of new residents, both from other states and also from abroad, a lot of people from Central and South America, a lot of people from India and China in those Northern Virginia suburbs, a lot of change, rapid change over 10 or 15 years. Given all that, is it a surprise that McAuliffe is struggling here? Shouldn't he be winning by 5 or 10?
Sure, because Biden won by 10%, and Biden was not that strong of a candidate. So, I mean, there was a strong anti-Trump sentiment, especially in the Northern Virginia suburbs, and places like Charlottesville and Blacksburg and Richmond. But it's fascinating to see how bad the Democrats appear to be doing. He might pull it out by a whisker or maybe three whiskers. Who knows what they might pull out of the ballot box or pull out after the – well, who knows? There a lot of speculation there about whether it's going to be a clean election or not, and I'm certainly not going to vouch for that. The state of Virginia historically has not had that much election corruption compared to a place like Maryland or the state of New Jersey. It's fascinating. I mean, Biden is intensely unpopular in most of Virginia. The poll came out that showed most Democrats disapprove of him here in Virginia, I think. It'll be interesting if the Democratic candidate does win. The pundits will try to say, well, this proves that Biden is actually quite popular and that he's doing well, and it's a good reason to vote for another $3 trillion handouts. It's hard to know what it really means until it's over. And it's like, this is sort of like a pregame Super Bowl. Super Bowl analysis. If the quarterback does this and assuming the referees do that, yeah, I don't know. But it's fascinating to see what we've already learned as far as the public hostility towards the school boards, public distrust of Richmond in a lot of places, and public distrust of at least the Democratic candidate, if not both major party candidates. I haven't heard if there was a Libertarian Party candidate running in the governor's race. Is that something you would know?
Well, if there is, he or she has not moved the needle a percentage point or so, because I think we'd be hearing about it.
Okay.
It's interesting. One of my favorite websites I recommend to everybody, Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is the kind of website you should read in the morning with your coffee, not before bed, let's just say. Zero Hedge has an article today, Virginia governor race tight going into Tuesday election. And this article posits that all the momentum is with Glenn Youngkin, the Republican challenger that McAuliffe was leading. There's actually a website called Predict It, where you can bet your own money on who's going to win. And now it costs you more you got to pay more to get Glenn Youngkin. You got to pay 57 cents for a share of him versus 46 cents for a share of McAuliffe. You know, I wonder how much just the last couple weeks played into all this. I mean, they did have a debate. They talked about local school boards. They talked about critical race theory. And just, I believe it was yesterday, perhaps the day before, Jim, McAuliffe was at a campaign stop and he said, well, you know, something like 80% of Virginia teachers are white and half the state is people of color. So we got to do something about that. We got to diversify. I wonder how that plays.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of things that would have had a bigger impact if the media had put the focus on them. But, certainly with the Washington Post and a lot of the the national media is biased as far as their coverage, as far as who they're backing, because these are very pro-Biden outlets, and they're going to do everything they can to slant the news and either put the spotlight in for information or not spotlight it. I mean, it was a hoot that you had some of these the guys from the Lincoln Project doing a bogus the white nationalist demonstration in front of the Youngkin campaign bus. I was glad to see that get busted, exposed. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on at so many different levels, and there's been so much demagoguery on both sides, but I think one side has had a whole lot more.
Well, I think our listeners should understand what we're talking about when we say Northern Virginia. I mean, there are places like Great Falls, Virginia, McLean, Virginia, I mean, that are just full of mansions. Loudoun County, it's horse country. Very, very wealthy people. Many of them are lawyers, lobbyists, people who contract with the federal government. Booming traffic out there towards Dulles Airport. It's really one of the few areas which has, you know, had not suffered a housing recession at all, let's say, in the past 20 or 30 years. I mean, it is really an area that thrives on a bigger and bigger federal government. So it's going to take a lot of people outside of Northern Virginia, I think, to overcome McAuliffe's, I guess, built-in advantage.
That's true, but there's so much animosity towards Biden, and it's interesting. If you go back, I was in early 2020, they had the big gun rights rally in Richmond. I think it was 2020, maybe it was 2019, but massive turnout. And it was peaceful, even though a lot of folks brought their guns outside of the Capitol area there in Richmond. There are things the Democratic Party is doing that are hitting such hot nerves throughout, most of the geographical part of the state, the parts that I was raised in, the parts that I went to college in down in Blacksburg. It's red hot hostility. I would guess that there's going to be a much higher voter turnout in those areas than there was for the last governor's election. So, if that happens, then that might outweigh Northern Virginia, but I think there's a lot of folks who would normally vote Democratic who are just kind of disappointed by Biden and also, off-put by the wealth and the dishonesty of the Democratic candidate in this race.
Well, I hope that's true. A pox on both their houses to an extent. But it really is fascinating, Jim, to witness how the whole country now is focused on a gubernatorial race in the state of Virginia. I'm sure that was not the case when you were growing up there. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to check out Jim Bovard at his website, jamesbovard.com, and also via his Twitter, @JimBovard. And he writes a frequent column in USA Today. And I recommend you check him out. You're going to enjoy his books. So, Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for your kind words.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back a little after the bottom of the hour.